Well, good morning and welcome to St Andrew's this morning. Just as the last few people are, for the next 10 minutes while the next few people come in, we're going to just have some notices before we start our service. So this week on Wednesday is the start of Lent. I hope you're all looking forward to your pancake day on Tuesday and your pancakes on Tuesday, children. But Ash Wednesday is on Wednesday, the 2nd of March, and we're going to start Lent by our Ash Wednesday service, which will be up at All Saints at 7 o'clock and will also be live streamed that you can watch from home too. So please do join us for that. I'm going to, along with a couple of other people, are going to be at the New Wine Leadership Conference up in Harrogate this week, so pray for us. But sadly, I won't be with you to start Lent. Some other things coming up too. During Lent, we're going to have Paul Hunt leading us in a retreat morning and a quiet morning on Saturday, the 16th of March. It would be really helpful to know who's coming to that so we can plan refreshments. And there's a sign-up sheet on the welcome desk if you're able to sign up if you are coming to that. The next men's breakfast is this coming Saturday, where we have a guest speaker, Dr. Michael Harper, who's the top guy at the Littleton Well, I think, isn't he? And I think he's speaking about the Littleton Well, but I'm not quite sure. But come anyway, men. 8:30, Wetherspoons, just turn up and bring a friend. And particularly if you're new, it's a great chance to come and get to know people. We're normally in the room right downstairs and have that to ourselves. Forefront Theatre Company, tickets. We've printed some tickets, and you can actually buy tickets today on the Welcome Desk 2, which are cheaper than if you buy them online because you don't have to pay the booking fee. So I'm really keen that we get this out across Malvern as well, but I'm wanting to make sure that all the people that want to come from our churches come first before we advertise it more widely. So for the next week or so, it'll just be our church, and then we will put it out. So if you want to guarantee your tickets, it is absolutely essential that you come to this. If you miss it, you will regret it. Two performances. It's going to be brilliant. And just to say, if you're new here, and I know there are a few people here for the first time, a really warm welcome to you. We don't produce a notice sheet, paper notice sheet anymore, but we do have an electronic mailing. And if you want to find out about the electronic mailing or connect with us in any other way, then there's that button on our website, or grab one of these on the way out from the welcome desk, which tells you how to access that. And we can send you that each week, which is where we put all the information about what is going on there. I think that's all that I need to say. Other than our evening service tonight is up at All Saints, where we have our guest speaker, Andy, who I will introduce in a moment, coming to speak there. So there's no evening service here tonight. It's up at All Saints, and the youth will be taking place up at All Saints too. They'll finally get back into the youth room for the first time in 2 years. So if you want to come to that as well tonight, then do. Andy's going to be telling some of the same stuff that he's talking this morning and some different stuff too. So just so that you know. Every Sunday we meet is important, isn't it? But I think occasionally you get some Sundays which seem even more important than others. And today just seems like one of those. Because since we last gathered here last Sunday, the world has changed in a dramatic way. And many of us are still trying to process what's going on in Ukraine and what that might mean for them and what might it mean for us. And, you know, the Ukraine issue is particularly an important issue for us as a church here at St Andrew's, because for many years the church here supported directly as a mission partner this church out in southwest Ukraine, the Church of the Living God, in the Gypsy community there, and several people in our congregation here have visited that and are still in touch. And we've been having some messages this week, and I'm going to play you just one message which got sent to Heather this week from Carlos, who's one of the pastors out there. And it just, I think it's really good to hear the direct voice of people in that country this week. So hopefully you can pick this up.
Thank you so much. We're hoping it will be finished soon. But continue to pray, because it's very dangerous. Friends from Kiev and from Ivano-Franco send a picture, and they see from their window how the rockets come. So.
And another message which was sent from Ruslan, not the Ruslan that came here a couple of years ago, but one of the other church leaders, saying, please pray. All Christians have to cry out to God. It has the power. God have power to stop it, we pray. Also, but we have to unite all God's family. God controls everything. And so we're going to start this morning. Heather's going to come up and, children, you might recognize this flag. This is the Ukrainian flag that Heather is just going to place on the altar, just as a symbol that we are standing with all that is going on in Ukraine at the moment, all the Ukrainian people, the church out there, particularly in the the Church of the Living God. And Heather's going to too come and light a candle, which is just that reminder that in the midst of those storms, God is there. God is present. And I'm going to suggest that, you know, we keep this candle lit for as long as it takes to burn down, and we'll put it on the altar at the end of the service. And we keep that there lit just as a reminder that we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. So Heather, do light that candle. And as I do, I'm going to read the verses from Psalm 46, which seem more poignant today than ever. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease. He makes the war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear, or perhaps shatters the missile, we should talk about now, shouldn't we? He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And that's the truth that we hold to and sing about and pray about today. So can I invite you to stand, and we're going to say these words together. And as we do, we lift up that community in Ukraine today. O God, who is greater than the most powerful forces in this world, enable us to be still and know that you are God. O Lord, who answers out of the whirlwind of everyday life, breathe in us your Holy Spirit to strengthen, comfort, and guide us in the midst of the storm. O still small voice, speak to us this hour, that we might become makers of your peace in our homes, in our communities, in our worlds. We pray all this in the name of the one who calmed the raging sea. Amen. So we're going to sing now, and there's going to be a first song and then particularly a children's song. I'd love to invite the children to come up and grab an instrument. And the songs today, I think, are really poignant. And I want to just give each one of us permission in the songs that we sing today to do whatever you need to do. Actually, some of you might just be led to pray. For some of you, emotion might come out this morning. You know, that's okay. It's a safe place. And it's holy emotion. So let it come. Let this place be a place of refuge today. But allow God to meet us as we sing. And as we sing, we're lifting up our prayers to God. We're crying out to God. And actually, we're doing battles in the heavenly realm because we're lifting God. God's name high. So let's sing.
Yeah, we can have instruments in this one as well. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, call in the Saviour's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging.
while we're standing, we pray, Lord Jesus, that those in Ukraine at the moment, and we think particularly as we're about to send our children out in a moment of the children, that they would be bold, that they would be strong, that they would know that you are with them. Make your presence felt to them in a way that they've never encountered before. And watch over them and protect them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now do take seats before the children go out. And you've got some really, really exciting stuff this morning. We're going to have a little video which explains some of the exciting stuff that you're going to talk about and that we're going to talk about later, because we are thinking about an organisation called Open Doors today, which works with what's called the persecuted church. But what on earth does that mean? Well, here it is in children speak. Listen carefully.
Have you ever been bullied? Even if you haven't, you can probably imagine what it's like. People who are bullied may be teased, hurt, ignored, threatened, or called names. There are lots of reasons why people are bullied. It can be because of what you look like or sound like, where you're from, or the things you do. One of the reasons people are bullied is because of what they believe about God and the way they live their lives as a result. It might not happen anywhere near you, but around the world, millions of people are bullied for this reason, because the way they do things is different to those around them. Another word for this is persecution. Open Doors supports Christians who are persecuted in over 50 countries around the world. It could be by praying for them, taking them to hospital, providing them with tents or food, or taking letters and cards to cheer them up. As well as offering help, Open Doors tracks the bad things that people do to Christians around the world, and the reasons why. Every year, Open Doors makes a list showing which countries are the most difficult for Christians to live in. It might be because your family is against you following Jesus, or because your neighbours will tell on you. Or the leaders in your community might make it difficult for you to get water or go to school. It might be the government spying on you, deliberately attacking you, or putting you in prison. It could be violence coming from terrorists. Or it might be the kind of pressure that others just can't see. Either way, when you're persecuted, you're not free to learn, play, work, read, write, or say what you think. This doesn't happen everywhere, of course. Just watching this film now very likely means you are in a safe place. But some people aren't safe, and some children aren't safe. So it's good to remember them and find ways to help them where we can. The Bible says, "We are many people, but in Christ we are all one body." We are the parts of that body, and each part belongs to all the others. How can you help children and families who are being persecuted?
And I think the children are going to find out some ways in which they can help those people. And they're doing really exciting stuff. Don't get jealous, parents. But actually, the younger children, I think, are going to go and make a special car. And I think the older children are going to actually have their own version of secret church. And you're actually going to go to your groups in a different way today, I think. So anyone who is under 11 can go off with Helen. Pathfinders are going to be staying in for the service today for the talk. And then at the end of the talk from Andy, they're going to go out with Simon and have a chance to discuss it or play a game. And the rest of us are here. So I'm sorry you can't go to Secret Church. Perhaps we'll have our own version of Secret Church another time. But that's all to come. Just before, while they're heading out, one other notice I want to give you about Lent. is an invitation, really. When I was taking some time out in January, you know, I particularly felt that God was speaking to me about this word Christ-likeness. You know, it talks in the Bible about how we're called to become more like Jesus. And actually, I felt God saying to us that actually he wanted us to pray during Lent for perhaps one thing in our lives where he wants to transform us and make us more like Jesus. It might be particularly like a fruit of the Spirit that you want to pray for. Maybe you're thinking, I need more self-control, or I need more peace, or I need more joy in my life. And to particularly pray for that each day. It might be about a relationship that's broken down that you know you want God to restore and God to change your part in that. Maybe it's something that you, sort of a habit that you're addicted to. Maybe actually you even want to switch off Facebook and Twitter for the next few weeks, having spent a lot of time on those the last day watching the Ukraine news. You know, what we're encouraging you to do is to reflect with God and prayerfully choose one thing that you want God to transform you in during Lent. And then what we've set up is a special, quite simple daily prayer, which just has a few prayers and a few opportunities to reflect. And part of that is to particularly think, how am I doing in that one thing in my last 24 hours? And to pray for that one thing, so that you're praying for that one thing each day. There's also a space here that says praying for others on your heart. And actually, I put this together before the Ukraine stuff happened. So maybe actually at that place each day, you could pray for Ukraine. And you could pray perhaps for the people that if you know particular people out there from the churches we've mentioned. So we're really encouraging you to take this up as an invitation during Lent. Not as a chore, not as a rule, but as an invitation from a God who loves you and wants to meet with you each day and wants to transform you. And you might even like to share with somebody else. I was sharing with the midweek congregation this week what I'm praying for. And I've been doing this for 3 weeks now. You might find someone to say, this is what I'm praying about. Would you pray for me too? And then actually at the end of Lent, actually getting together with that person and saying, look, actually, this is how God's transformed me. This is how God's changed me. And if you feel that God's really transformed you and changed you, I'd love to hear those stories. I'd love us after Easter to be telling those stories back to each other of how God's met us and changed us to become more like him. So that's our Lent invitation this week. There's a video on the mailing on YouTube if you want to hear me talking about that a bit more, but I really encourage you to take that up this Lent, and it starts on Wednesday. We're going to just have a bit more time of sung worship now and singing a couple of songs which are as much as anything, again, it's prayers that are praying that actually God would intervene. We're speaking the name of Jesus. It's going to be the second one we're going to do. We've actually changed the words in a couple of places. Watch out. So it actually says, I speak Jesus to Ukraine. So actually, as we sing these, we're just inviting God to meet us and lead us in prayer for these things we've already been talking about. So let's stand and worship God and bring our prayers to God.
Just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, Jesus for Ukraine. Jesus, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, Jesus for Ukraine.
Sing his name, Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus.
Lord, we speak Jesus over Ukraine. We speak Jesus over Putin and pray for his transformation. We speak Jesus over Russia and we pray that just those who are opposed to this war will rise up and have power to change things. We speak Jesus over everyone we might know who's out there in the midst of this. We speak Jesus over every person in the persecuted church that we're about to hear about. And we pray that up from the ashes, life will arise. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to have our reading now. Paul's going to come up and to read.
The reading is taken from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. This is the word of the Lord.
So I'm going to pray for Andy as he comes and speaks to us. Andy, it's so lovely to have you here again. And those who remember Ruby from last time coming with his daughter, coming with him, Ruby's not able to come this time, but which I was really disappointed about, but we send Ruby our best greetings and the rest of your family too. But let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Andy and the work of Open Doors. And we pray now that you'd open our hearts to hear what you want us to hear today, and that you'll move our hearts to pray for our fellow Christians around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. It's a real privilege and honour to be back here at St Andrews. I'm looking forward to being at All Saints tonight. And we're going to just watch a little video now, which just gives you a short introduction to the Ministry of Open Doors and takes us through the top five countries on the World Watch List where Christians face the most severe persecution. Let's watch this video now.
There are countries where Christians live in fear, where churches are bombed and houses burned, where following Jesus means sacrificing jobs, security, family. There are countries where you must keep your faith secret, or it might get you killed. These are the countries of the Open Doors World Watch List, and here are the five countries where following Jesus costs the most. Number 5, Yemen. Yemeni culture is tribal. Those who leave the tribal faith could be banished or even killed. Number 4, Libya. In this lawless land, Libyan Christians have to keep their faith secret or risk punishment, arrest or death. Number 3, Somalia. Islamist extremists consider Somali Christians high-value targets, so the tiny population of only a few hundred secret believers keep out of sight. Number 2, North Korea. There are around 400,000 Christians in North Korea. All of them must hide their faith. Discovery means exile, execution, or being worked to death in horrific labor camps. Number 1, Afghanistan. The Taliban takeover means that Afghanistan is the new number one, the most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. Many Christians have become refugees. Those who remain must keep their faith utterly secret. There are countries where Christians live in fear, but fear can lead to courage, and courage leads to hope. At least 360 million Christians around the world experience high levels of persecution and discrimination. But they have not given up. And for over 65 years, Open Doors has stood with them. Where Christians are persecuted, our global underground networks supply smuggled Bibles and Christian books, spiritual care, emergency food and aid, training and legal advice. Where Christians are free, we work with local churches to raise our voices in prayer, to speak truth to those in power, to strengthen our persecuted family around the world. Because there are countries where Christians have to stay silent, and there are countries where Christians can make a noise. But we are all connected. We are all family, and together we can help one another to follow Jesus, no matter the cost.
Well, it's just amazing to be with you this morning and to worship together with you. I love the songs that you chose and just the songs of focusing on Jesus in the midst of struggle, of storms, of hardship. And today, as we really think about Ukraine and what's going on there as well, and just want to say it's just great to be together in a group of people, group of Christians who care about our world today and what's going on. And just thank you so much for your prayers and concern for our brothers and sisters too, and all that's going on in Ukraine today. And as I speak about the persecuted church, we also remember them and what they are going through. Today, there are 360 million Christians in our world who live in areas where they face high or extreme levels of persecution. That's a huge number, isn't it? 360 million. It's far too big for my brain to even think about. So if you break it down a little bit, that's 1 in 7 Christians globally. 1 in 7 live in areas where they face persecution. And they need our prayers and they need our support. And here I want to say a huge thank you to you as a church for your ongoing prayer and support for our brothers and sisters around the world. If I could bring them here to meet you today, I know that they would stand here and they would say thank you so much for all that you've done, for your ongoing support for our brothers and sisters around the world. We just saw there the top 5 countries on the World Watch list, but the World Watch list we produce goes through actually the top 50 countries in the world. And we launch this each year in January in Parliament, which we were able to do again this year, and although it had to be online. But it was just amazing to see just the support and just how much our MPs actually take notice of this report and what is happening around the world. And if you'd like a copy of this report just to help you stand with and pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, we have one here, and they're outside in the foyer and they're free. And if you'd like to take one to encourage you to pray with, even maybe during Lent this week, you might want to just pick a couple of countries to pray with and stand with, as well as praying for what's going on in Ukraine as well, then please do take one of those. There's a top 50, but also there's one going through the top 10 countries. I know some people find the top 50 just too much to face all at one go. And so if you want to look at this one, this will take you through the top 10. And we also have a resource for families and children as well. And it gives you a map and stickers and all kinds of other things that just to engage the family to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. And it's fantastic this morning that in the Children's Church, you're also doing secret church and thinking about our brothers and sisters around the world. So thank you so much for that. And with your children, you may want to continue just looking at that. And so you can use that resource, which is out there, and it's free if you'd like to take one. In Afghanistan at the moment, you may have noticed, those of you who've been following the World Watch list, that North Korea has been number one on that list for almost 20 years. And this year, for the first time, Afghanistan actually overtook North Korea. Not because it's got any easier in North Korea. In fact, it's still getting harder. But the fact is that in Afghanistan, the situation there since the Taliban came last summer has got even worse. And so that's taken over. And I'd like just to tell you a little bit about this lady called Zabi. When Afghanistan dramatically fell into the hands of the Taliban last summer, Zabi's only choice was to flee her home, to run for her life. She was forced to gather whatever possessions she could find and run to the border. You see, a few years ago, Zabi's father had been killed for being a Christian. One day, the Taliban came for him. They tortured him for months, and then, unfortunately, they killed him. And soon after, her brother disappeared, and to this day has never been seen again. Today, Zabi is a refugee, and she says this. She says, "I may have to go into hiding or be deported back to Afghanistan. I may be killed if that happens," Zabi says. For Zabi, it didn't seem like life could get much harder. And then it did. Even before the Taliban took power, it was already impossible to live openly as a Christian. In Afghanistan, if you're found to be a Christian, then you're normally just killed straight away. Thankfully, God led our partners in Afghanistan and the surrounding region to Zabi, when she was found in refuge in a neighbouring country. And thanks to the support of people and churches like yourselves, we've been able to give her food, pay her rent, and give her money to stay safe and survive. Our partners have prayed with her and encouraged her to stay strong in the faith. And thanks to your support, we can continue to help her, though we don't know what the future may hold. For Christians like Zabi, life and hope hang by a thread. She told us this. She said, "You are a strand of hope to me. There's a chance I may live." Zabi represents many believers in Afghanistan. And the question that you may ask is, how can we strengthen our persecuted family around the world? And I'd just like to show you a few ways that you can do that. And we talk about standing in the gap. And we use the letters of GAP for three things. The G is forgive. And there are ways that you can give to Open Doors if that's something you'd like to do, to stand with our brothers and sisters. You know, £7 can put a Bible in a believer's hand in their language that are desperate for a Bible. The A stands for action, for act. There's lots of ways that you can get involved. We are always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for people to write to their MP. Throughout the year, there's several times when we just encourage people to write to their MP, to let them know about a particular situation or something that's going on in order to act and to be a voice for those that don't have a voice. And the P stands for prayer. And we can pray, can't we? Brother Andrew, who founded Open Doors over 65 years ago, he said that prayer can go through borders where we can't. Today, we can't go into Afghanistan, but we can pray. And our prayers can go there and can make a difference. Our prayers can go to Ukraine today. Our prayers can go into countries like Russia today and make a difference. And so I just want to encourage you to pray. Whenever we meet our persecuted brothers and sisters and we say, "What do you need? How can we stand with you?" The first thing they say to us always is, "Will you pray?" And so we're here. We want to resource you to be able to do that. And so that's what all these resources are for, and just to encourage you to stand with them. There's a little, if you want to sign up to receive our regular emails, just giving you updates of what's happening as things happen, then you can just fill in this little form here with your details, and we'll send you, keep you up to date with things that you could be praying for our persecuted family. Now, I don't know about you, but life often seems like it's a series of tests, doesn't it? I mean, when we're at school, we have tests, don't we? We have exams. When we have driving tests, we have eye tests, we have pregnancy tests, we have blood tests, we have fitness tests. More recently, it's been lateral flow tests. Life is full of tests and trials and things that maybe we don't really like and enjoy doing, but we have to. And the Bible tells us that tests and trials, we're to expect them. They happen. Jesus said it happens. And as Christians, we are not exempt from that. I've heard many people stand up and say, "Hey, come to Jesus. You know, all your troubles go away." Unfortunately, that's not true, you know. 360 million Christians today are being persecuted because they've chosen to follow Jesus. But the truth is that Jesus says that he's with us. And he will remain with us until the end. And so tests, they prove our faith to be genuine, authentic, and lead to a refining, a reforming, a deepening of our character and commitment to Jesus. And in this passage in 1 Peter, we see this clearly, where it says, "In this we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be approved genuine. There's three things that I'd like to bring out of this passage. And the first is testing is real, but temporary. You know, the early church knew what it was like to be tested. The early church, they faced persecution, they faced imprisonment, they faced torture, they even faced death for following Jesus. And Peter here, he's writing to the church, encouraging them to keep going, to not give up. And he says in verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. Now for a little while. Testing is real, but it's temporary. It's not permanent. It's not going to last forever. And as we look back in the verses 3 and 4 of 1 Peter, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. What a promise, friends. We have an inheritance that is never going to be spoilt or perished, that can't be destroyed in bombs or anything like that. We have that inheritance if we hang on to the truth and keep going. We have a hope that is steadfast and is certain. And the trials, the things that we go through today, are what our friends in Ukraine are going through today, it's temporary. It's temporary. There will be a day when we will be with Jesus and we will know that inheritance the Bible talks about. So testing, it's real, but it's temporary. Secondly, testing refines faith. Peter uses the picture of gold being refined in the fire, being refined in the furnace. Suffering has a way of loosening or removing, taking away our attachments. You know, the sin that so easily entangles. Things we hold tightly to that we just don't really need. When gold is melted in the fire, the impurities rise to the top, don't they? And then those impurities are removed. And then it's heated up again. And maybe a few more impurities come and then they're removed. Until the gold is pure. In Iraq, when the so-called Islamic State swept across the Nineveh Plain in northern Iraq a few years back, Dr. Rebia lost everything. He was a doctor, and he'd strived for his life to just all that he had strived for, he'd lost. And this, in the space of hours, Dr. Rebia lost everything. Rebia ran a successful business. He owned a few properties, had a number of cars, and owned a lot of land. This in itself gave him influence and status in his community. You could say he had it all. But a few hours later, everything changed. As ISIS swept through his town to cleanse it of Christians, Dr. Rebia had to grab his wife and kids, and they literally ran for their lives. Persecution turned Rebia's life upside down, but it deepened and refined his faith. Rebia says this. He said, before they took everything, I was a Christian only by name. But now, my faith is alive. Rebia said, before they took everything away, everything from me, I was a Christian only by name. But now my faith is alive. I now know the love of God more than ever before. You see, the testing of our faith produces perseverance. It produces gold refined in the fire. So testing refines faith. And thirdly, testing means encountering more of Jesus. We become more like Jesus, don't we? And when the refining is over and the gold is pure gold, it's more valuable. And friends, perhaps today you need to be reminded of how precious and how valuable you are in God's eyes. You know, going through challenging times, going through difficult times, it can sometimes leave us to think, God, are you still there? Do you still care about me? But he does. And that's why he allows us at times to go through challenging times, because he loves us, because he cares for us, because he wants us to be as pure gold. Whatever you are going through, whatever challenges you face today, Jesus is with you. This is something that our persecuted family teach us all the time. Is they say, hey, you know what? We might be going through challenging times, but Jesus is with us. In Isaiah 43:2, it says this: when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. See, Jesus is with us in testing and refining, and that's so what our persecuted brothers and sisters teach us so well. I want to finish with a story of a man named Wang Mindell. He's this is a different. Here we go. Ah, it's not there. Okay. I wanted to show you a picture of Wang Mindell, but it's fine. During the Cultural Revolution in China, Wang Mindell was sentenced to 22 and a half years in prison. And it's because he was leading a church that was not allowed to happen. And so he was put into prison for 22 and a half years. And as he was coming towards the end of his sentence, one of the officers came to him and said, Wang Mindell, sign this declaration and we'll let you free. This declaration was to say that he would no longer follow Jesus. And he signed this declaration. I'm sure it must have been a weak moment for him when he was thinking about his friends, his family, the church he'd left behind, and thinking, oh, I just need to get back to them. And he signed this declaration. He walked out of the prison, a free man. As he walked away, he realized he'd made a mistake. And he went back to the prison and he said to them, hey, tear up that document. I refuse to deny my faith in Jesus. He said, from this day on, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what. And they put him back in prison. He was sentenced to another 22 and a half years. And he said it was awful. He said it was terrible. They put him in solitary confinement for the first 7 years. He said, I didn't see a soul. And he said, I found it so hard because I knew God had called me to be an evangelist. And he said, as an evangelist, I need to meet with people. I need to be with people. I need to tell them the good news of Jesus. But I had no one to share it with. He said one day as he was praying in his cell, he said he heard noises coming from the corner of his cell. And he went over, and in this corner of the cell was his toilet. Now, not a toilet as we know it. It had just been a hole in the ground. And he said that he could hear noises from the other cells. And he realized that the sewage pipes were connected to all the other prison cells. So every day for 7 years, Wang Mindell preaches the gospel down the toilet. At the end of 7 years, he is able to go out in the courtyard of the prison. And he meets up with some of the other inmates. And he discovers that in 7 years, 96 prisoners had given their life to Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Pastor Wang Mindell said this. He said, I had no Bible, no pulpit, no audience, no pen and paper. I could do nothing. Nothing except get to know God. And for 20 years, that was the greatest relationship I'd ever known. He then said this, which I found astounding. He said, when I was in a cell, the only thing I was focused on was getting to know Jesus. It was only me and him in that cell. He said, you need to build yourself a cell where it's only you and Jesus. You need to build yourself a cell where it's only you and Jesus. Friends, as we're coming, as we start to celebrate Lent this week, I encourage you, build a cell where it's only you and Jesus, where we get away from the distractions and all the things that try to distract us from being alone with Jesus. You know, maybe there's a chair in your house where you can sit, and you know when you're sat there, that's the moment for you and Jesus, or a particular room, or maybe it's a walk. You know, on a beautiful day like today, you live in such a beautiful area with the hills, and maybe walking in the hills, and you know that at that moment, you can have that time where it's just you and Jesus. But wherever it is, I want to encourage you to find that place where it's just you and Jesus. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I want to thank you so much, my friends here at St. Andrew's. Lord, thank you for their faith in you. Pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll be with them, that they would know you close to them. Lord, you know all the things that each person's going through. You know the testings that each of us face. Lord, thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you promise you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And Lord, I pray that they would know you, that they'll find that place where it's just you and them, where they can know that intimacy with you, Jesus. And we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world today who are persecuted for their faith. Lord, may they stand strong and know that they are not alone. We ask all this in your precious name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much, Andy. The Pathfinders are going to go out now with Simon and Anya to just reflect together. We pray for you as you go. And we're just going to reflect together ourselves. And, you know, I'm always struck that whenever we hear Open Doors come and speak, it actually challenges us so much about our faith, doesn't it? And that's right. We think we're coming to pray for them, but actually they're coming to minister to us. And I just wonder whether we can just start by a time of confession. Just really struck by that comment of that guy saying, I was only a Christian, only in name. I wonder how much of our lives we live where actually that's really what it is. And so let's come and confess that before God, and come and confess where we've not prayed for our brothers and sisters in trials in the world. So God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For failing you to speak out for justice and for the poor and the oppressed. Father, forgive us, save us, and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing which will be our final song, because we're going to listen to the last one, which is a song called How Long. And it's really a song of lament, of crying out to God. And we're going to invite anyone who wants to respond to anything you've heard today by just coming and taking a tea light and lighting a tea light just off our candle here, and I'm going to give the matches to Peter, and Peter's going to, we've got another set at the back there. And I just invite you to just pray as you come and light one, maybe for Ukraine, maybe for a specific thing about Ukraine, maybe for Putin, or maybe for someone we've heard about today, or a country. Whatever God leads you to do, just come and pray your own prayer in response to that as we sing this song today. If we don't have a chance for everyone to light the nail, there's going to be another chance later on before you go. So let's sing. Why don't we stand, and if you want to come out as you feel led, then to.
With song.
before your glory lights the skies? How long before your radiance lifts our eyes? How long before your fragrance fills the air? How long, Lord, before the earth resounds with songs of joy?
Shall we sit if you'd like to? Or you may want to kneel. Or you may want to carry on standing whilst we just turn to thoughts and prayers. I found this very emotional for all sorts of reasons, because I remember in the 1970s praying for the Siberian Seven who were imprisoned in the Soviet Union for their faith. And we prayed and we prayed, and they eventually were released. And one of the young ladies came to our church up in Grimsby to share her testimony of what it was all about. But it was through prayer. And the third thing that Andy talked about, GAP, was P for praying. Prayer, as Brother Andrew says, can penetrate borders where we can't go. And that is so important. You may think, it doesn't matter. I want to go, I want to do, I want to... But the prayer is foundational, and God will open doors. And then I was reminded of Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, the wonders of Christ, for which I am in chains. And God has amazing ways of doing that, of opening doors, even if it's a toilet. Now, what a story for that. But that is where our prayers count. And so we want to continue in prayer. And some of you brought lights and placed them here as a sign of your thoughts and prayers. And I don't want that to stop. If you feel, oh, God, you've just spoken to me about X, come and put another candle out. Don't hold back. Because I've had my own thoughts of praying this morning, but my agenda goes. It's really what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. But I know that Ukraine is on your heart. At 4 o'clock this morning, I woke up. And I think it was then 6 o'clock in Ukraine. And I thought, there will be people there. Where will they be? Will they be in a metro station? Will they be in a cellar? Will they be coming out and wondering what that's going to meet them? And all in a space of 2 or 3 days. And it can happen. And it happened. And we need to pray that this will stop. And we've been urged by our archbishops to pray that this evil act will cease, will be fettered, will be bound, and will be stopped. And that's what we want to see, isn't it? And that Ukraine will be free, and Christians in the churches who will be persecuted if it continues, don't have any doubt about it. They need our prayers and protection. So let's just pray. I may not pray a prayer. I may just stand here. You pray your prayers. Let's bow our heads or do whatever we feel is relevant. Nick Robinson the other morning said that Ukrainians in Kiev were waking up to fear and misery. Let's pray that they will have faith and hope. Heavenly Father, we pray that in the dire situation that many find themselves in, whether it's in a cellar, in an underground car park, in a traffic queue miles long at a railway station, or having crossed the border, and then what? And then what? Where do we go? What do we do? Women with children, husbands required to stay behind to fight. Be with them, Lord. Protect them, Lord. Guide them, Lord. Help them to make the right decisions for them. And bring your people to them. And the men, aged 18 to 60 or more, are those who really want to stand and fight for their country. Lord, we pray for them. We pray for all engaged in the conflicts on both sides. We pray, O Lord, that you would bring a cease to this evil act in the name of Jesus. And thinking further, when Andy was speaking, I was thinking of all those countries also that border Ukraine, and those that are attached to Russia, the Baltic states, Hungary, Romania, Poland. We pray for the people and the governments there that they will have wisdom to know how to manage this crisis that is hitting them too. And, O God, our Lord, we pray for those in the EU, the committees, the councils, NATO, the UN. We just pray for wisdom to know the right actions, to know how to lead this into a dead end, to stop it in its tracks. And Lord, we pray for Vladimir Putin and ask in your name that your righteous judgment will deal with him and that he will wake up and see what he has done, and that others who are misinformed or not informed will see what has happened and take action and make statement, Lord. And so we give our prayers to you. We remember with love and caring those here now and those we know who are suffering in their own way, but just as big for them. We remember our dear brothers and sisters who are ill at this time, that you would touch them and encourage them and give them hope and take away fear and build faith. And so we unite together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the prayer that will bring us together. It will be being said in the Ukraine, in churches today, and amongst Christians today in Colombia and Nepal and Pakistan and North Korea. Different languages, but the same prayer. So let's join together with all the persecuted church as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. But deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of yours, now and forever. Amen.
Just a reminder that Andy's going to be on the in the foyer with some resources if you'd like to go and talk to Andy further, and particularly if you'd like to maybe start giving to Open Doors. I started giving to Open Doors when Andy came last time, and it's been a real blessing to be able to do that. We're also going to have a retiring collection if you want to give to the work of Open Doors in the plate on the way out. I'd also just like to say, if there's anyone here who just wants someone to pray with them, you know, we've talked about a whole load of stuff, but as Joe just prayed, people here are carrying big stuff that you can think, actually, that's nothing compared to what we've been talking about. It's important, and it's your stall. And actually, if you would like prayer from anybody, then please do come to the front at the end, and someone will pray with you. But we're going to finish with a blessing, and by showing you and playing the worldwide blessing. You'll see this on the screen, and I want to say watch out for the fogged out faces of the persecuted church. Watch out for where the Ukrainian person sings just before the Russian person. It's moving. Allow this to lead you into prayer, to bless our world and our brothers and sisters as we go. It's about 8 minutes. If people need to leave, just go. If you haven't lit a candle and want to light a candle, come and do that. If you want to just stay and be, do. If you want to come up for prayer, do. But just allow God to meet you as we go from here. Oh, Open doors. Just look up for each other. Keep praying.